Good evening. You are tuned to KGVM Bozeman, Gallatin Valley Community Radio. We're at 95.9 on the FM dial, KGVM.org online. Thanks for tuning in tonight. It is time now for the local musician spotlight. And I'm here in the KGVM studios with Ashley Holland. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Bob, for having me. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in tonight.
So I assume a lot of people know, but you are Little Jane of Little Jane and the Pistol Whips.
I am. So. Yeah, that's the middle name.
And you've been playing music, I mean, solo and with the Pistol Whips for a while around here, I think.
Mm-hmm. We started that group in 2008 out of Livingston with Marcus Engstrom, Jody Engstrom, and then Russ Smith. And it's changed over the years, but yeah, we've, you know, always kept kind of a rotating cast of local characters that are so talented. Very, very lucky for everybody I played with. But yeah, we've been around for a while now.
Yeah. And yeah, I think I saw you guys last year at Yellowstone Harvest Fest, and I think Jody and Marcus were playing.
Yep.
I don't remember who played drums.
Oh, Mike Gillen.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that was a good show. So you just released an album.
I did.
Like, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago?
The 16th of September, yep.
Not even a couple weeks. Or...
It was a year to the date of when we went in the studio to record the album.
Oh, cool. Nice.
1 year later. Yeah, it's called Long Road Ahead, and it's got 12 songs on it, and it had been 13 years since I had put out an album.
Wow. I didn't, I guess I'd never looked back. I didn't realize it had been that long a gap.
Yeah.
So did it feel pretty good to have a new album?
Oh my gosh. Yes, it just felt good. And also that weird, like when something wonderful happens, you've been waiting for so long, there's a bit of that like depression or like let down, you know, there's like that. You know, it was, I think it went off really well, and the event was a huge success, and everybody that came, thank you, and is listening tonight, thank you. But yeah, you get it out there finally, and you're like, oh, you know, but I'm glad it's out. I was holding it back a lot. Like, I had the music, I got to listen to it, I had the CDs for a while, and it's hard to not be like, everybody I meet, take a CD. You have to hold it back, so... It also felt like a huge relief, yeah, like you're saying that it was out.
Yeah. Were you just kind of holding it back just to arrange the release party and
yeah.
get that all to come together?
Yeah. I figured, you know, if you play it a bunch before it's out, then what's the old saying? Why buy the cow and you can get the milk for free?
yeah.
So I was holding the cow and the milk back, and I think it was great. It was like a treat. I even had a listening party with Luke Sheeler and Russell and Quentin and Ethan, which were the core people that all went in the studio that day just to lay down. I mean, we really recorded live, basically. So
yeah.
There was no vocal overdubs or anything that happened, or bass overdubs or drum, anything. Like, we did it live, all that basic stuff, and solos. And so they hadn't heard it. They hadn't heard, like, the whole... production value and the additional instruments that we brought in. And so maybe a week before the CD release party, we all sat down at Luke's studio or Jericho, and they got to hear it. And it was so fun to see their faces just like,
yeah.
you know, because they were just thrilled and they'd worked so hard and they play so good, all those guys. And
yeah.
so, yeah, I mean, even holding it back from them. And I gave them each one copy and I was like, this is not public, so just enjoy it in your car or wherever with your family, but keep it to yourself
yeah,
for a little bit.
A little bit longer.
Yeah.
So, and they played with you for the release party too?
They did,
nice.
Yeah. And we didn't have, well, Jody was a special guest. Jody came up and sang harmonies, which she does in the group, but on the album also, Krista Barnett sang harmonies. She's so talented. And then Tom Murphy and Russell sang harmonies.
Oh, cool.
And then there's a song called Call a Rat on the album where there's these, like, chants of rat and scab. And that was Russell, Ethan, and Quentin, just the three of them. And then Luke took them and multiplied them by, like, 50 so that you could just picture this big room upstairs like,
yeah.
full of Union Hall guys just rat.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I imagine that's kind of an interesting process to lay down all the basic tracks and stuff, and then to kind of come back after a while and see how it's morphed and
cool.
Grown and changed. And I mean, I guess it couldn't change too much because it's short of just throwing things out and like starting over with a different player, but just like overdubs and stuff.
Well, and I just trusted them so much. Like Jim Averett had he was a great sort of mentor and advice giver, you know, because I didn't know if I needed to write parts or do you write this or that or do you set it up like really intricately ahead of time. And he said, no, you just hire people that you trust and you admire their talent and you let them do what they do.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And they were just so talented. Like I owe so much to those three guys. I mean, we had a few practices, but for as good as it came out, I mean, we just had 2 days is all in the studio. We put all that down in 2 days.
Wow.
And so, no, it didn't change much. But, I mean, it couldn't, like you said, it couldn't change much because it was set, but it was perfect. Like, because that Montana Can't You See video that Chris Murphy helped, and I think it's Sam Hedlund, they did like a real cool professional video. That's just the four of us, because I didn't want there to be like, oh, where's the fiddle player? It's an imaginary fiddle player, you know? So it was just as it was. There was no harmonies, no nothing. It was just, you know, as Luke, Russ, Quentin, and Ethan and I, it was just us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that sounds great too. So when we left the studio that second day, it was almost like, this is great. Like, how can it even get any better than this? So then you add, you know, Mike Singer on banjo, Tom Murphy on mandolin, Natalie Padilla on fiddle. You add Julia Slovarp, you know, cellist for the symphony. Courtney Perez now, bass player for the symphony, bowed bass. Luke did all the percussion. Who am I missing? I'm sure. But the harmony singers. And then, you know, Luke did so much pre-production, and then he packaged it all up so beautifully, all these sounds he captured, and then sent it to Daryl up in Canada, who's, you know, mixed and produced most of Nico Case's albums. And so that's why on some of the songs there's this fun, like, different edge. Like, there's, like, weird, spacious guitar-tweaked riffs, you know, or the big, you know, almost, like, I thought what Daryl did on the Lost to the Trade song, where it goes boom and flash, I picture that giant, like, gong looking, those two gong things that you, like, bang together, like, the cymbal. Is that what it is?
I get, yeah.
Like, boom! But it was him. He took Ethan's parts and expanded it and did something crazy to it where it's just these, like, big, you know, and even Ethan was like, did I do that? I don't remember that. So I know I'm going on, but it's just, it was such a cool thing to be part of, you know?
Yeah. I think different people have had definitely a lot of different approaches to creating albums over the years. And some people definitely, I think, have gone that route of like planning everything out so much ahead of time and practicing and then doing it over and over and overdubbing and stuff. And a lot of times when I listen to stuff like that, it doesn't catch me the same way as something like you said, if you take really good musicians and they're at a point where the material's still pretty fresh, so maybe that's a point where the creativity is at its peak. You know, it's like, well, if you play this a few times, maybe you'll figure out a way that you think it should be and stuff. Yeah. But before that, it's kind of out there on the edge, right? It could go a lot of different ways, and, and if you've got good people, it's like I think it seems to me like you can hear that. You know, it gets captured just the potential, for lack of a better word. So, yeah, I always like that with, you know, bands that don't spend 4 months in the studio. It's, you know, it
loses something.
It does. You know, I guess it probably gains something too, but that something that it gains is not a thing that I attach very much value to.
No, and is then it a labor of love or just a labor?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It just seems like labor to me, you know? I think you're so right. And in an interview I just did, the guy said, is there anything you would have changed or do you sit and think about things in later after the fact of what could have been different? And I thought, no, I think it's like, it's just the one thing I think in my whole life that I tried so hard for and just kept at it and just didn't lose faith or hope and just trusted these people and it all came together. So, I mean, there's always a regret usually in life. And with this thing, I'm like, it's perfect.
Nice.
I just love it. And I hope you all do too. And I hope you do, Bob. It's just such a cool, there's a little bit for everybody. There's like some gypsy jazz. There's some, you know, there's like a waltz. There's bluegrass. There's like kind of rock sounds. There's a straight country. And that's the beauty of not being on a label. I could do whatever I want.
There's nobody to tell you, don't do that.
You could put a rap song on there if I wanted to, but you know, it's just, it's really turned out so good. I'm so proud of it.
So with the songs that ended up on the album, had you had most of those songs for a while, or are some of them pretty new, or?
I'd had a lot of them for a long time. I was telling somebody that, you know, what I kept saying, this is a new song, but it wasn't a new song. It was, at that point, it was like 5 or 6 or 7 years old, you know, so... Like the song about Montana, I'd say, this is a new song. And it was probably 7 years old by the time we recorded it. I think I wrote it in 2015 or somewhere in there. But what was new for me was that with COVID and the dates getting pushed back for the recording time, I sat with the songs. I thought they were done. Mm-hmm. And then I sat with about 3 or 4 and I wrote different parts, like a pre-chorus or a, you know, a bridge or a different ending. And I think it helped finish the storyline. So I'm, that was new to me. And, you know, one of my bandmates was like, also in the studio practicing, it was Mike Singer. He's like, that song needed that.
Yeah.
You know, and he was like also messing it up in the Montana thing because there's those stops with the M-O-N-T-A-N-A. And he's like, I don't remember this part. And I was like, well, it's new, man.
There's a reason for that.
It's like, you've never heard it before. Sorry about that. So, it's just cool. I'm just so honored to be here with you, too, and just get the chance to talk about it.
So I imagine if you kind of had it ready to go and then the COVID thing happened.
Yeah.
If that hadn't happened, do you think that... Would you have played some of those songs out a little bit before you recorded them? Or do you think you would have recorded them as soon as you could?
Probably. They wouldn't have, like, the Lost to the Trade wouldn't have that little, like, stanza, I guess you'd call it, at the end, where it's like a call out to be safe to your part, you know, your loved one, just to tell them you love them before they leave. Or there wouldn't be the M-O-N-T-A-N-A at the end of the Montana.
Yeah.
So we probably would have recorded it. And I think, like you're saying, it would have lost some of its... flexibility, or just, you know, or if I would have pushed, like, no, we have to have this done right now,
right.
You know, it's just, I kind of surrendered to, this is just is what it is, you know.
I've got some time to let things marinate a little bit.
Yeah
I think sometimes, like I said, some bands I know, that process will happen as they get, you know, if they're actively playing out. It's like maybe they'll roll them out, try them out on people a few times and see how they morph through that process too. But obviously COVID kind of didn't provide a lot of opportunities for doing that either. So
no, and I really hit out. Like, I went sort of hermit mode, and mostly because I didn't know when I was recording and I didn't want to get sick because I just was so worried about, like, what if I lose my voice? Or, I mean, that was a real worry for me too, even when we did record. But it all worked out, and stress-wise, you know, I was pretty stressed out, you know, going into all of it, but that all worked out, too. It just all worked out, like they say.
Things do. If you just give them, it's like a horse, you just gotta give them their head and let them go where they're going to go, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Well, maybe we should listen to a couple songs on the album.
Okay.
What, any suggestions for the first one?
Oh, gosh, well, I mean, Long Road Ahead is the title track. We could listen to that one if we want.
Yeah, that sounds good.
1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 2. Take a moment, take a breath. Take some time to rest your weary head. And take some time before you speak your worried mind. It's a long road ahead. just how much you mean to me. Even though you feel alone, in me you'll always have a home.
The title cut from the new album, The Long Road Ahead. And it's a pretty song.
Yeah.
It, I guess, a country song.
It's a waltz.
Yeah.
And it was sort of a song about, well, it was just to me. I wrote it for me, to me, from me. About just, you know, when life gets stressful, just take that moment, take a breath, take some time, you know, and it says, before you speak your worried mind, you know, just like take that pause and like, I'll always be here for you, like to me too, you know, like, and I hope people feel that. So I hope with this album, I said a lot of, is I hope you get comfort
yeah.
and peace and some, you know, some relation. We're all, it's a human experience.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I hope people get that out of it, because it sure seems like people need that.
Right.
I try to check myself sometimes. I think I have a tendency, and I think a lot of us have a tendency to imagine that things are now very much different from what they've ever been before. Mm-hmm. And that's probably almost never true. But it definitely seems like at this particular point in time, things are in a kind of a precarious state, and like interpersonal relationships seem to be taking it in the shorts pretty hard, like all over the place. And so it's like, man, our ability as human beings to relate to each other and to be empathetic with each other seems to be stressed and challenged in ways that, like, maybe it's been that way before, but it certainly seems like a kind of a pinnacle, or a whatever the opposite direction of a pinnacle is, but like a
crevice.
A crevice, yeah. So, I think people definitely need to touch base with things that help them do that. Like, take a step back,
yeah.
Breathe, think, and then talk. And
talk
from a place of, you know, at least attempted understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And it's...
Oh, well said.
So you said that they're kind of the core four of you are on pretty much all the tracks on the album.
Yep.
And then added some instrumentation on different songs just to spice them up a little bit.
Yeah, and it was so fun because I got to sit with Luke in the studio while these people came in. And so we'd be sitting there like on one side of the wall and get to hear real time their parts coming into the studio. So it'd be like, whoa, like mind blown, or, you know, so you got to hear what they rehearsed and came in and played. It was just really fun experience to be part of it. You know?
Yeah.
And Luke is so patient and kind, and just, you know, if I was like, that's fine, let's be done, he's like, let's get one more take, like, you know, let's just do another one for whoever, you know.
Yeah.
So it was like so cool.
He's a, I've heard a lot of people that have worked with him are just, very complimentary about the whole process and how easy it is to work with him, and how well he does things like that, just kind of without being intrusive, just kind of maybe suggest things and plant a seed that maybe will make things better or, you know.
He's great. Yeah. He's a small town Montana boy, too.
Yeah.
He's from Laurel. Not as small as you, though, Bob.
No, it's a little bigger, but it's not a booming metropolis or anything for sure.
No, that's pretty cool. It's just a lot of flavor coming out of Montana, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Let's want to maybe try another one.
Yeah, gosh, I don't even know what to pick. There's so many good ones. Let's listen to the Bumblebee song. So this is the one song, if I am honest, I didn't play guitar in this song. I play guitar on all the other songs, but you got to know where your strengths are, and this is not one of mine. Which is Quentin just picked up this beat, and he called it Gypsy Jazz, but it's, you know, it, and you'll hear it, but I just knew, like, I'll just sing. And so I just sang on this one. I didn't play, so it's kind of interesting.
Nice. That particular talent is another thing that a lot of people haven't maybe developed enough. The idea of understanding when it's a good time to let it go.
Pass the reins. Yeah.
It's like sometimes you just want to let somebody else do some of it. Yeah, so this song is called Bumblebee.
Bumblebee.
All right.
As a bumblebee, all kinds of honey, no stinger for me, my sweet little bumblebee. Oh, he's my little bumblebee. Well, he's my king and I am his queen. We got a sweet little hive tucked up in the trees, just two little bumblebees. Just living the dream. When it's cold and it's snowy outside, you'll see the glow from inside our hide. Is working day and night, making sure we got the best little hive. Oh, he's the only one for me. Yeah, he's my little bumblebee. When it's cold and it's snowy outside, you'll see the glow from inside our hive. So what we do, we could fill 100 jars, it's true, just two little bumblebees. Two bees just living the dream.
Bumblebee. That has a nice jazzy feel to it.
Yeah, try not dancing to that. When
it's like... it is definitely built to get your feet moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you said Quentin kind of was the driving force for that flavor of the song.
Yeah, he just heard it like Django Reinhardt, kind of gypsy jazz feel. And then he suggested Natalie for that one. And then Tom sort of constructed these cool parts and harmonies. Because originally I thought of twin fiddles. Like, you know, I kind of heard that in my head. But the fiddle and the mandolin are strung the same, as you know, and same, you know, exact sounds, but just different application, I guess you'd say. So it just... It really vibes well, I think.
Yeah, I thought that sounded, their parts work together really nicely.
Tight, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it helps when you have people of that caliber.
No. And I'm sure probably Luke would say the same thing. Less work on his end when people are like that good.
You know? Yeah. It's like, you know, I'm not going to have to spend 8 days of my life punching in overdubs for the clams.
He's listening. Sorry, Luke. You probably did spend 8 days of your life. He's probably on the other somewhere going like rolling his eyes. Yeah. He was so patient. But yeah, speaking of like, I think we were on the break talking about like big studios and, you know, Nashville and stuff or LA or wherever. But the first song of the album is sort of like my dig to that whole thing. Like you know, I kind of took a couple stands in this album where I normally would just be, I self-appointed myself as the polite police. I always am super polite and gracious. But this one I was, you know, a couple times people have come up to, well, one person, which shall not be named, but would say, talk to me about the Nashville songwriting formula and how that's the way to go and Nashville has the best players. And I mean, I beg to differ if you listen to this album, like, or you know, go out to a show here, go to the jazz nights at the downstairs bar. I forget what that
Tune Up.
Yeah, those guys are, I mean, we have such great players in this area. So talented. So the first song on the album is called Keep It Simple. And it's just all about like songwriting and keeping it simple. Can, you know, the acronym Keep It Simple, Stupid Kiss.
Yeah.
And then also that formula concept is just silly to me. You know, like
I'm continually reminded that I really don't understand people very well. And that particular aspect of people is one that baffles me as much as anything. Just, I know it to be true and I just don't understand it. But that in my mind, you know, when you talk about the formula and stuff, another thing that goes along with that to me is just like people, I mean, why are chain restaurants so popular? Because most of them are not very good.
Yeah.
But people know what to expect and they want familiarity. And
true.
Like people want to hear bands that play covers of songs they already know.
Yeah, that's
they don't,
true.
You know, they don't want to hear new songs. And I think that like the formula approach to songwriting in Nashville, it's like even though it's a new song, it's got all of the pieces that you already kind of feel familiar with. Yeah. And I'm like, to me, that's not a desirable characteristic, but I think to a lot of people it is. And so I think that's why, I guess that's why it works. Because it does work. I mean,
commercially.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you know, I guess at some point, if you're a professional musician, that has to probably some aspect of that probably has to enter into your calculations at least a little bit. It's like, I can't completely ignore that.
I like to make money.
I would like to be able to make a living doing this. Yeah. But I think a lot of people, it like takes on all of the importance. And it's like, oh man, I don't know what it means to be a musician personally, but I just have a hard time like thinking that if I was a musician that I would want to do that, just kind of not really be an artist but be a commercial professional, a tradesman. I guess
there's an art to that, I guess, too. And I was just thinking, you know, I was really back and forth because I thought maybe I needed to go have that experience with this album, like go, you know, to have studio musicians and just do the whole flying down there. And I just am so glad, maybe COVID stopped that too, but just that, you know, I followed my gut and stayed home. And part of it too is like, I can't be a total sham. I have a really popular song that I love called Montana, Can't You See? I can't go record that
in Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah.
So I got to stay home. And these are my friends. Like, we've been with these people for years. And so it just almost felt like this real fun, like a fun friendship, like, you know, getting all your pals together and making an album. And it, like, it couldn't happen that way. Like we were talking about with sitting with the songs, it just would have been forced and sterile and I would have been uncomfortable and it would have showed. But like this was like walking in with people I've known for 15 years, you know, so.
Right.
It was so cool.
Yeah, I think in certain circumstances, I imagine that there's opportunities for a different kind of chemistry. Maybe if you walk in and you're with new people. Mm-hmm. That you don't know and you don't know exactly how they do things, but maybe there are a few opportunities for magic to happen there.
Yeah.
But it just seems to me like the just being able to be in a place you're comfortable with people that you're comfortable with, having fun doing it instead of kind of trying to feel out new relationships while you're trying to feel out new music.
Yes.
Just seems like that's a just a more holistic way to do it for sure.
Yeah, sleep in your own bed at night.
Yeah.
You know, not take a flight, which, you know, just has its own weird issues of like traveling with a guitar or your stuff. Or,
yeah.
So I needed that comfort for this one, I think. And just the familiarity of, you know, I had already recorded in Chris's space at Basecamp Studios. That was where I did my very, very first EP, you know, with Russell, Jody, and Marcus in, you know, 2009 or something. So I already knew the space. It was so cool walking into that. And then I did the second album at Peach Street. So with, you know, Doc Wiley and all that crew. So that was a homecoming too. And so it was, you know, just was a cool, it was cool all around just to be with pals that people I know in a space I know.
Right.
I needed that.
Well, and I think that caliber of player, it's not like you gave anything up to do it here.
No, my gosh, that's what I'm saying is there's so, I think people misjudge us here.
I think that's true. I mean, I go out and see a lot of music and I'm still amazed on a regular basis. It's just like, how is there so many great players in this small of place?
I don't know. You know, what is it? Yeah. Something in the water?
Apparently something's working. We'll find out it's some like uranium mine down below us or something. But,
mind control.
But whatever, it's working. Boy, there are a lot of so fantastic talented musicians.
I know. We're very, very lucky. Well, I don't know. What do you want to listen to next?
Well, I wonder if maybe we'll listen to the leading cut.
Yeah, the first one about the Nashville.
Yeah, I like that one quite a bit. So.
Yeah, it catches you right off the bat.
It does. I think it was a good choice for the first song of the album.
Thank you.
Dancing on their feet away at three.
All right, keep it simple. I mean, you know, words to live by in any context, but yeah, I like that. We were talking about the little fiddle part there, and Ashley thought it sounded almost like maybe just sort of, you know, teasing the Nashville people.
Like the neener, like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Who knows what she was thinking? We'll have to ask her sometime. But yeah, that's where my mind goes.
That's what you thought
of. I love that part.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they need to, you know, need to be brought back to earth once in a while too, I think. We all do once in a while, I think. And so, but yeah, I'm glad to see more and more people that are kind of opting to do the same thing, you know, kind of just either do it on their own or, you know, do it locally. I do think, you know, I know people have kind of set up their own recording stuff and recorded all their own. And sometimes I wonder, and it's not like, even if you do that, it's not like you can't have people provide you feedback and stuff. But I would guess that sometimes having somebody involved at some level, like a technical level, like somebody like Luke maybe, just to give you a little bit of perspective, probably helps in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
So I wonder, you know, if people are just completely doing it by themselves, if they miss out on a little bit of that. I think they, you know, on the flip side, I think they also miss out on somebody who has very strong ideas trying to tell them what to do, which I can't imagine that is a pleasant situation. And I'm sure that it's happened a lot in people recording albums, especially like if you're signed to a contract with a label, I think that probably comes with that more times than not. So,
Well, and Luke, again, plug for him. He's just, if you ever chose him, he is so chill and just really listens. You can tell he's just listening when you look at him, when you're talking to him, you know, he wants what you want. And he will provide feedback in a very gentle way, you know, where it's really ultimately that person's decision, but he's so good at what he does that you really take it into consideration.
Yeah.
You know,
just some things to chew over a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's so busy that nobody can get into him. That's my
goal. That would be great.
He's as busy as he wants to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, I guess I haven't heard lately, but it seems like the local recording studios are, I think they are keeping busy and, you know, they're all working on projects and stuff, I think, so.
Yeah. Yep. I'm sure he's as busy as he wants to be, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Chris is probably doing a lot out at base camp and so.
Yeah. He said he was expanding the other day when I talked to him.
Maybe I think I saw something about
studio.
That. Yeah.
I know. Good for him.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So you said some of the songs on here have kind of a, like a labor message and focus and.
Lost to the Trade, especially, that was a true story written about a lineman out in Southern California. He was working as a contractor from Arizona, had a wife and kids, and did what they call took a ground off by hand. And I don't know if it's just if linemen get busy and they forget that things are energized, you know, like we would pick up a mic stand or whatever around here. And, you know, if they're pulsing with, you know, 10,000 whatevers of power, you know, you'd forget, oh, I can't touch that. So this person ended up passing away. And I was told he donated his organs to fellow linemen. And so that's like in the beginning where it says they keep him alive till the others arrive to take what's left of him, sort of taking that organ piece. But so I wrote this song about this experience. And then even after the fact, I think, you know, I didn't have any personal experience with this, but then my own husband had a flash in his face, and then always has a big beard. And so one time I FaceTimed him, and like the entire beard was gone. And I was like, what happened? And he could hardly even talk. He was so emotional, just because I think it happens in just such an instant. And they call it a flash. And so, you know, he's got some big scars still from the hot, whatever it was, oil, I think, in those cans, you know, blew up. But so this song is pretty powerful. And in the very beginning, there's like a crackling and a pulsing sound. And that's actually Luke, who won an Emmy for his sound effects, pulled this electricity sound from like two taps being opened and then the big arc that it makes in between. And so that's electricity that you hear. And
oh, then, wow.
Yeah, it's just really, it's a cool song, I think.
Yeah, we'll give it a try. I like, we are in the labor temple, so it seems like, you know, labor songs.
Yes.
They fit. An eerie sounding song to me.
Mm-hmm. Good for the Halloween vibe.
Exactly.
Coming up.
Yeah. And like a great story too, just to make people think a little bit. We were talking before the show started about the lineman's job and just how people don't really even think about it at all, one way or another or anything, until their electricity goes out. And then all of a sudden, it's like, why don't you have this back on instantaneously? It's like, well, because some poor guy has to go out there and climb a bunch of poles and, you know, risk getting zapped, and they're out there in 20 below and the wind's blowing, and it's like, it's, you know, they don't get to wave their magic wand and stuff. So I think it's good to remind people once in a while that all of these things that we take for granted, that there's a lot of times a lot of effort behind them that you don't even see or think about. So
totally. And I just got to, a gal I went to high school with in Helena, her name's Allie Carlson. Her husband is part of the, I think, the presidency of the union, the IBW in Butte. And I sent her the music, and then she turned me on to a woman called Line Mama, who lost her son, Brandon, in an accident. And so she's just putting on it's called Soul Sisters, and it's 10 women who lost their husbands in the line trade. And so I offered to send some CDs, and I wanted her approval because it is such a powerful song about losing your partner, basically. And she said, which was very sweet, she said, no, I love it. She goes, it's really interesting how you exactly captured what happened to my son. And that's what we were also talking about on the break, is not over-explaining these songs too much of what my process was, because my hope is it brings comfort, and anybody can put it to their message.
Right. Kind of interpret it in their context and get what they need out of it, or what can help them.
Well, and the guy I just did the power element with, he's like, that song, it was like you were in my head when you wrote that. I love that.
Yeah.
Because it just means people all over the country, or, I mean, this is a common trade, or any other trades. There's, linemen aren't the, it's not the only dangerous trade. It's, there's all kinds of dangerous trades, so.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm kind of wondering if maybe we should give a listen to Call a Rat a Rat.
Oh, let's do it.
Yeah. That one's got me, my interest is piqued.
Especially because we're in the labor.
Exactly. I mean, you know. There's probably been, that's probably happened upstairs. Call a scab a scam, I just call to see it, call a red a red, call a scab a scam, I just call to see it, don't take too much these days, just by a red a mile away, scurrying with this little paws, ratting on everything he saw. Supposed to be brothers, looking out for one another, but there's always a select few, I'll do anything to give you the screw. So call a rat a rat, call a scab a scab, I just call to see it. Well, that is a fun song.
I know. And what about the shouts? They're pretty cool.
Yeah, I like the shouts.
So that was just three people. That was just Quentin, Ethan, and Russell. Luke had the idea. Let's just, you know, while you guys are done, let's just sit around and record this. I have a funny video of them doing it. And then he took them and multiplied them by like 20. So I pictured the union hall upstairs just filled with people.
Filled with people. The miracles of modern technology. You could do that with three people and a can of beer or two, and you could get all you need.
That's pretty much what it was. Yep. I was like, Luke, you get in there too. And he was just like, no.
I got to run this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's funny.
How many more do we get? We've probably got time for one more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd love to end with the last song on the album just because it's so fitting for what we're going through right now with fall.
Yeah.
The geese are flying so much, and you're from Montana too.
Yeah.
But it's everywhere. But if you're from here, you're really in tune to the weather because you have to plan for it. Because it's going to go from 90 to 20 to windy to sunny to raining to. And so I think as Montanans, we're really clued into the weather more than most people, I would imagine.
I think that's true.
And so this is me paying attention now that also I stay in a fifth wheel trailer and we drive a two wheel drive dually truck, that if you don't leave, you're going to get stuck here, you know? So like right about now, I'll be honest, I'm pretty anxious about the weather.
Getting starting to really pay attention.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's the whole Game of Thrones thing, the winter is coming thing, but it's coming in Montana. And I think we have a appreciation for what that means or can mean, definitely.
In my ear, the wind says things are changing. It's time to move on. The leaves are falling, snow is coming. Let's migrate south. The geese in a V they fly. It's the hawks from above telling me, get gone, love, to move on now. And it's the crackling of the leaves subtly telling me to head down south. Blanket comes down, it covers the grass. All is sleep until spring quietly waits. I say goodbye for a while, hug friends and family. Oh, so above telling me to get gone, love, to move on out. It's the crackling of the leaves subtly telling me to head down south. Thank you. of this storm coming through. And even if I should wait till morning, I'ma get stuck till the tulips bloom.
The geese were nice.
Yeah, nice touch.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for coming in, Ashley, and hope you have a good trip down south.
Thank you. And thank you, Bob. You do so much for everybody. Like I was saying earlier, you take all these photographs, and you're a real champion for the underdog musician, so thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, and people, the album's out now. You can go get, you can go get a copy for yourself. Are they... If people went to like Cactus or Wax Museum?
I don't have them anywhere yet. I do need to get them out. Maybe Cactus. Country Bookshelf is talking about potentially carrying some. And then I'll try to get them in Livingston too before I leave. But it's on all the streaming platforms. Bandcamp pays us musicians a little bit better than other places. And then you can always go to the website and I will write a special note in there if you want me to and send you some stickers. And I put a little ribbon around it and I mail you a copy. So.
Nice. Yeah. Buy your music. Don't rent it. Pro tip for the day and good karma. My spiritual advisor assures me that's good for good karma. And we all need that. So
thank you so much. And thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah. Have a good night. Keep it tuned right here to KGVM